Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Shanine et al. Titled, FOXO3A Regulates BNIP3 and Modulates Mitochondrial Calcium Dynamics and Function in Cardiac Stress. This article published September 30th, 2016. Joining me today are Associate Editor Ajay Shah, Lead Author Antoine Shanine, and Content Expert Christoph Mack. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. So today we're discussing a really interesting article looking at the effects of a transcription factor on calcium dynamics in the heart and the effect on cardiac stress. I thought this was a really interesting paper where the authors have looked at myocytes and in vivo responses. So I'm going to kick off by asking the lead author, Antoine, perhaps to give us a brief summary of what you've done in this study and what you think that the major new findings are. Antoine?
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. And in this study, based on our previous work, we wanted to test the hypothesis that the transcription factor FOXO3A regulates BNIP3 gene expression in the heart and whether through BNIP3, FOXO3A is implicated in mitochondrial dysfunction and myocardial remodeling. So here are the key highlights of my study. In vitro, we used gene therapy approach via adeno-associated virus, and we expressed a constitutively active FOXO3A, and we showed that significant increases in BNIP3 expression in that condition. And this increase in BNIP3 expression promoted the mitochondrial calcium overload in a mechanism that we have previously published before, which is the oligomerization of the voltage-dependent anion channels. And this increase in mitochondrial calcium led to mitochondrial fragmentation, loss in mitochondrial membrane potential, and decreased mitochondrial efficiency. And thereafter, there was induction in mitophagy and apoptosis. Subsequently, we studied the kinetics of the FOXO3A BNIP3 pathway in phenylephrine-stressed cardiac myocytes. Then we tested the gene delivery of adeno-associated virus serotype 9 encoding dominant-negative FOXO3A in a rat pressure overload model of HFpEF, but with remodeled left ventricle, and we showed that the gene delivery of a V9 dominant-negative FOXO3A attenuated BNIP3 expression, mitochondrial fragmentation, improved mitochondrial efficiency, and reversed cardiac remodeling. Last, we showed that the FOXO3A BNIP3 mediated or deregulation of calcium homeostasis leads to activation of calcineurin. And with this, there were two consequences. One, at the ER level, where you have dephosphorylation of phospholamban at serine 16, and at the mitochondrial level, you have dephosphorylation of DRP1 at serine 637.
So, Christoph, I'm sure that you have some observation and comments on what the authors have done in this study.
So I think it's really interesting because you focus on the microdomain between the sarcoplasmic reticulum and the mitochondria. And since this is a very delicate balance that needs to be in place between SR calcium release and mitochondrial calcium uptake, because neither too much of mitochondrial calcium nor too little mitochondrial calcium will be any good for the cell. And here you found a mechanism where eventually mitochondrial calcium overload presumably leads to a series of events that will lead to cell death and maladaptive remodeling.
Yeah, I agree with you, Christoph. It's really interesting. So the other question is, FOXO3A as a transcription factor obviously is going to have lots of different targets in the cell. And here you are pinning quite a lot of the effects to BNIP3, but how do you separate out the effects of BNIP3 from the other things that FOXO might be doing in the cell?
Yeah, thank you. Great question. So in vivo, we really cannot, because we're delivering dominant negative FOXO3A, and whatever it's expressing, it is. And that's why we had to do an in vitro model. In normal adult cardiac myocytes, we express a dominant negative FOXO3A, and at the same time, we overexpress BNIP3, and compared these results to the constitutive active FOXO3A. We used BNIP3 knockdown, BNIP3 sRNA, as a positive control, and compared those results to the dominant negative FOXO3A group.
Another issue, and I'm sure Christoph has a comment on this, was how you focused on diastolic function mediated via changes in mitochondrial calcium. I guess the question is, why would you get specific effects on diastolic function?
Yes, I mean, as far as I interpreted the work, was that the phospholamban dephosphorylation may be one factor that would explain decreased circuit activity and thereby mediate a diastolic dysfunction on the calcium side. I'm in line with the author who observed fibrosis, but as far as I interpreted your discussion, does not think that this is the driver of diastolic dysfunction in this case. What is interesting, though, is when you connect this to mitochondrial calcium homeostasis, is that we normally think that the calcium gets into mitochondria via an SR calcium release. And for instance, you've shown that the caffeine-induced release of calcium from the SR is decreased after FOXO3A upregulation, whereas the mitochondrial calcium is increased under these circumstances. However, I think you measured mitochondrial calcium in the isolated cardiac myocytes under resting conditions and not after SR calcium release. So this increase in mitochondrial calcium may be unrelated to the SR calcium release in this case, and it rather pinpoints towards the VDAC mechanism that you've described previously. And in that respect, I would be interested whether you've seen any changes in the primary uptake mechanism of calcium into mitochondria, namely the mitochondrial calcium uniporter.
Yeah, we don't know how the calcium makes it from the outer mitochondrial membrane into the intermitochondrial membrane. We have not looked on the MCU activity or conduction previously. So what I think is going on is that this is not a beat-to-beat basis regulation of calcium entering the mitochondria by this pathway. Rather, that's a chronic issue.
If we try and put the mechanism that you've described into a slightly broader context and think about heart failure more generally, you've gone for highlighting the effects on diastolic function, perhaps, in this study. But I wonder whether you feel that this might be something that is more broadly relevant to heart failure, including systolic heart failure.
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much. Actually, let me clarify one thing about the diastolic dysfunction. We don't think that the FOXO3-NIP3 pathway is critically modulating the diastolic dysfunction. Rather, I think the primary effect of that pathway is myocardial remodeling. What we think is that this pathway is mainly working on the decreased mitochondrial efficiency, decreased remodeling, and with the remodeling of the chamber of the left ventricle, you get worsening in diastolic function and also of systolic function. And therefore, this pathway could be implicated in both this type of heart failure as well as systolic heart failure.
Christoph, as a mitochondrial expert, where would you put this amongst possible approaches to modulate mitochondrial function?
I think it sets it at a molecular hub, which I think FOXO is. It's like a more general molecular master regulator, which will presumably orchestrate a number of downstream events that apparently influence calcium handling, mitochondrial morphology. And I think it is probably a good thing to find these hubs where we can, by interfering with one molecule, have a whole array of positive effects, if it turns out to be like that. It is a little bit against what we have been seeing and believing previously, because our research focus has been on the observation that in various models of heart failure, including a guinea pig of increased afterload, we see rather, at a stage of systolic heart failure at least, decreased levels of mitochondrial calcium uptake, but this was on a beat-to-beat level. So I think it will take a couple of more years and more research to really understand the close interplay between SR calcium handling and mitochondrial calcium, including all the morphological changes we are seeing, like mitochondrial fusion and fission. And here in this study, we also saw a great impact on that.
I agree with you. I think, Antoine, from my perspective, the only other question that could benefit pushing this forward into translation would be maybe to explore a little bit more what else FOXR might be doing, because you have beautifully defined the effects that are mediated through BNIP3, but usually there are multiple mechanisms going on, some of which you have hinted at in your study. And if it turns out that there are synergistic effects through more than one mechanism, then it would strengthen the potential for this maybe to be a therapeutic that should be tested in the future. But I guess with any good study, there are always plenty of additional experiments and directions to pursue. I guess we're out of time, folks. I would urge people who found that interesting to go and read the paper. It's a really nice study with lots of interesting aspects to it. So all that remains is for me to thank Christophe and Antoine for interesting discussion. Thank you, folks.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.